Okay, so this is the 9/11 and other deep state crimes teleconference for the 25th of July, 2018. I'd like to ask, is my voice coming through okay? Because I'm using a new headset tonight.
Oh, yes, sounds great.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. So, our first item, as always, is to call the roll, and that is Craig's responsibility. So go ahead, Craig.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to do the roll. There was one other thing I wanted to mention before I forget. Ken and Cheryl and I talked quickly about this after the last call. And what I was hoping that we could do as a matter of routine is that at the end of each item in the agenda, just restate whether there are links that need to go into the minutes so that if anything is missing from my notes or if I don't hear something, I can check the recording by just simply going back to the end of an item and just seeing if there are any links that have to be mentioned. Because sometimes when I don't do that, I end up having to listen to the whole thing again, sort of listening for mention of links. So I think it's a small thing, but I think it would make it easier on my end. Anyway,
okay.
So
you should just pop in if one of us doesn't do it and just make sure that we summarize links that need to be collected for the report. Okay.
Right. And also okay. Just to mention also that if anybody has a link that they don't, that they're going to supply later, they have to do it to me by email, not through the listserv. So sure. I can certainly supply my email address at any point. It's an easy one, CraigMcKee911@gmail.com. So,
yeah, well, maybe we should revise the template on the on the minutes and on the other thing, so that your email is always mentioned there.
Okay, good idea. Yeah, good idea. Okay, so the role. Sorry.
One other thing I wanted to suggest, Craig, is that when you get to that revision, I also would like a statement on there about how people can get on our listserv to be a part of the routine. Template. Okay. So that people always reminded that if they want to get on the listserv, how to do that. Okay?
Okay, great, yes.
Okay.
So I have Ann Hendricks, Barbara Honegger, Barton Bruce, Neil Marquis, Cheryl Curtis, Marty Hopper, Wayne Costey, Nita Renfrew, Ken Freeland, Craig McKee, David Cole, David Rold, now I have John O'Neill, and I'm forgetting whether that was somebody else.
No, I think I changed John O'Neill to Nita Renfrew.
But what about? I thought Mike Springman was Nita Renfrew. I thought that was the
I
one you said.
Okay. No wonder they couldn't figure out the whole thing.
Now we've got two Nita Renfrews, though.
Yeah. Well.
So what's up with that? Is Mike Springman on the call? Mike Springman, are you on the call? That's very bizarre. All of a sudden now we've got two Nita Renfrews.
Yeah. Well, I'm still trying. Yeah, I still don't know who John O'Neill is, but we also have Greg Longo and Marie Spike. And unless somebody joined the call since I looked the list, which I'm just checking, that should be everybody.
Well, I think John O'Neill was in charge of the security at the World Trade Center, right?
Yeah.
That's right. It was his first day, I believe.
He's really dedicated. Here he is again. So, so who's got the 416792 number? Who would that be?
That's 416 is Neil. Yeah, Neil Marquis.
Neil Marquis. Okay, so let's adjust that, okay?
Right.
Is it N-E-I-L, Marquis?
N-E-I-L, yeah. M-A-R-Q-U-I-S.
How did that happen?
So, folks, this is Nick Harrison. Can you hear me?
Okay. So I guess we're okay with that then, and we can move on to reviewing or, let's just say, approving the minutes of the previous meeting that were circulated by Craig and copied onto the draft agenda. Does anybody have any? Oh, we do need to make the adjustment of
for David.
Yeah, for David.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
other than
that,
are there any amendments to the amendments? Hearing none, then we'll take them for approved with that amendment and move on to approval for tonight's draft agenda. Sounds like Dan Hennon is unable to be with us, so that item will need to be stricken. Other than that, we have then just the two major items on the agenda plus our normal look forward to the next teleconference. So any objection to using the draft agenda for tonight's purposes? Well, hearing none, then I guess we're ready for item number one. Numero uno is Craig's request for a retraction from Wayne Costi, who I don't believe is present on the call. But
I think he is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wayne is here. Wayne is here. I beg your pardon. So Wayne is here. So, okay. So go ahead. There's a relevant set of correspondence that was included in the draft agenda. So you may want to look at that as Craig is making his case, and then we'll hear from Wayne. So go ahead, Craig.
Okay, thank you. So Wayne Costi made a claim that I said something on the teleconference that he knows I did not say. He claims that I frequently apologized for having no evidence to support my position that no 757 hit the Pentagon on 9/11. This false statement is being brought to the attention of the teleconference because it is about something that he says frequently happened on our calls. Further, his claim was made publicly to hurt my credibility and the credibility of the no-impact position in the truth movement. Now, a little background. It was June the 13th. I was involved in a large email discussion about the Pentagon that was being CC'd to something like 43 people, and it included a number of people from the San Diego group. Wayne was not part of this, but he became aware of it and sent me a personal email the same day. And in that email, and I'm going to give you an exact quote, he said, "For years, you have never presented any evidence supporting your position, only incomplete analysis. You frequently apologized for not having any evidence. Do you want me to dig out those teleconference recordings?" Close quote. No one was CC'd on this message from Wayne, so I believed it was just being sent to me. I later learned that others had been BCC'd, possibly the same 43 people from the other email chain. I don't know. This means that Wayne's false statement about what transpired on the teleconference was actually public. It also means that these unidentified people would not see any response from me, only Wayne's false claim. Since Wayne offered to prove his claim, I challenged him on June 24th to do just that. He ignored my email. I wrote again on July 14th and told him that if he did not address this, I would bring it up on the next teleconference. Finally, he responded on July 19th, announcing this, and this is a quote, "Yes, I got your email on June 24 and was too baffled about why you would be making such a request." The request being to retract this false statement. He went on to indicate that he has no intention of supporting his accusation, despite the earlier offer to do so. And he wrote this, another quote, "After you do your Costi goes full debunker expose on truth and unsubstantiated shadows, I may take the time to go through the 9/11 and other deep state crimes recordings to find where you made those unguarded comments. But I am sure that you would then claim that they were limited in scope and I miscomprehended them. So in fact, digging them up is a waste of my time." Close quote. Incredibly, Wayne informed me that he had BCC'd this latest response to the same list of people that he sent the other one to. So he actually compounded the original problem by repeating the false charge, as well as repeating that I had never provided a single piece of evidence to support my position. And by BCCing people again, he was able to keep them from seeing any response from me. Now, to deflect the focus from this lie, Wayne has added this. and again, this is a quote, if you do raise this issue, I will demand that you present convincing evidence for one of the five non-large plane hypotheses above. He listed five, which you can see in the email if you look at them. Failure to present convincing evidence for your hypothesis will stand in mute witness to the statement you have never presented any evidence supporting your position. Close quote. But the Pentagon evidence is not the subject of this presentation, and any attempt by Wayne tonight to shift the discussion back to all the ways that he agrees with the official story will be out of order. In any case, Wayne had his chance in at least a dozen presentations and two debates, and he was defeated by a total of 37 votes to 4 in those two. If Wayne can't back up his claim, then I want an apology and a retraction. Keep in mind that he does not say that I apologized once for not having any evidence, which I didn't even do that, but he says I did it frequently. So examples should not be hard to find if they exist. I want this apology and retraction also sent to everyone on his secret BCC list, but this time I think he should do this openly by CCing everyone so I know who has been told this lie and I can confirm that they have seen it retracted. If Wayne won't retract and won't take action to support his claims, then I think other action should be taken by the teleconference. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. That was pretty clear cut. Wayne, would you like to respond?
No, I'm going to respond. So, first of all, I have to, since this is a code of conduct type of discussion.
Wayne, your volume is very, very low. Can you speak up or use speak close to the microphone?
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'll do that. So since this is a code of conduct type discussion, I think we have to.
We can't hear you, Wayne. Wayne, we cannot hear you. You're muffled. We hear a lot of background static, but we can't hear your voice.
Wayne, are you there? Ken, are you there? Is this still happening?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, Dwayne has dropped off the call. He may be trying to dial back to get a better connection, which would probably not be a bad idea because that was inaudible.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. That's very good. Yeah. Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear now.
Yeah, sorry. I have no idea why it didn't work. So at any rate,
Although you're still a little bit low volume, but so if you could speak up, it would be helpful. Okay.
How's this sound?
No, that's worse. That's worse. Much worse.
Okay, so here we are.
Yeah,
how's this? Okay.
That's good. That's good.
I've never had to yell into the phone like this before. Maybe this is a good position for this conversation. So if we're going to, since this is a code of conduct type discussion, if we're going to talk about teleconference code of conduct, Craig forgot to include in the email that started this exchange in which he began, I believe the truth movement has been a target of a disinformation campaign. And then he goes on to detail my activities. Costi does this, Costi does that. Disinformation campaign, my foot. Solid evidence is what I've supported. Just because it contradicts Craig's evidenceless fantasy doesn't mean that he gets to call it a disinformation campaign. You know what I've done? I presented the shadow captured in the Citgo security camera just seconds before Lagasse leaves. I showed the notch in the tree next to the Washington Boulevard, consistent with the shadow. Four severed light posts, one knocked in bed.
Point of order. Point of order.
Point of order.
We're going to go through this.
We may go through this, but a point of order stops the proceeding until we can hear the point of order and decide on it. So we have to give The point of order, whoever's raising a point of order gets the floor until we decide on the point of order, then we go back to you, okay? So go ahead. Craig, was that you raising the point of order?
Yeah, that was me, yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is not...
State your point of order, please.
Okay, he's outside of the scope of this presentation. He's unhappy with my characterization of his...
Okay, just a moment. Is there a second to the point of order?
I second it.
Okay, the point of order has been seconded, so it moves to debate. Go ahead, Craig. You may state your case for why it's the point of order should be resolved.
Well, the subject of the presentation is whether he is telling the truth when he says that I frequently apologized for having no evidence. If I made statements about him outside of the teleconference without any connection to the teleconference, it really has nothing to do with the teleconference. And frankly, this whole thing, it wouldn't have had anything to do with the teleconference, even the thing that I'm complaining about, if he had made some other statement that didn't involve saying something about what had happened on our calls that wasn't true. So that is the reason I'm bringing it up tonight. Otherwise, it would just be between me and Wayne. So he's off topic.
Okay. Would anybody like to speak against the point of order?
This is David Rold.
David, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I want Wayne to go through all his evidence, but I think if Craig accused Wayne of being a disinformation campaign, first that is pertinent to what we're talking about.
Okay.
I do need to respond because the point has been touched on enough that it does require a response. I never said Wayne was a disinformationist. I made a statement. I started off the statement that I wrote. In fact, I've said it on this call before, which is that I believe there has been a disinformation campaign for more than a decade in the truth movement that is talking about this subject.
Yeah, Craig, I need to cut you off here because the question isn't whether you said this or not or what you said. The question is whether it's relevant. Okay, that's what we're debating here.
But but I don't want the impression left that I accused Wayne of being disinformation.
So you've clarified it from your side. But the real question here is whether or not what Wayne is talking about now is relevant to the topic at hand, okay? And Craig is saying that it is not, and it's out of order. David has argued that it is relevant. So would anybody like to speak in favor of the point of order?
I'd like to make a motion that it is out of order because it is not directly relevant to what was stated on this call.
Okay.
I make a motion. Is there a second?
No. You can't. The motion is already made. There's a point of order. So the question is just whether or not we're going to read the point of order, which would call Wayne out of order for pursuing this line of argument. Okay. So you're saying basically that you support the motion by Craig to call this out of order. Anybody else would like to speak against the point of order?
Go ahead.
Anybody else would like to speak against the point of order? Anybody would like to speak in favor of the point of order, the point of order that has not spoken yet?
Yes. This is Cheryl.
Cheryl, go ahead.
And I think that, Craig has been very specific about what he's asking for, what he wants, and I think that what Wayne is saying is taking it in a different direction. So I think he's out of order with that.
Okay. Has anybody not spoken yet that feels the need to speak before we vote on the matter? Okay, then all in favor of agreeing with the point of order raised by Craig that Wayne's argument is out of order and what Craig may or may not have done is irrelevant to the question, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it. The point of order is affirmed and will be considered legitimated by the facilitator. So, Wayne, you have to get back into the question raised by Craig and avoid the question of what Craig may or may not have done prior to his request for this support, proof of his having made.
So we'll stick to the teleconference stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Okay, so I'll point out in both debates with Marbara and with me that Craig presented 0% supporting evidence for his position, whatever it is. He appears to be too embarrassed or too afraid to present anything a rational person would
point of order.
About.
Point of order.
Go ahead, Craig. You have a court of order.
This is about the teleconference. This is about the teleconference. It's all about what's going on the teleconference. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know.
No, sorry. Craig, state your point of order, please.
Yeah, Wayne loves to play with words, okay? So he's got teleconference, meaning that teleconference.
State your point of order.
Right, okay. He's off topic in the same way that he was off topic a minute ago, okay? It's not anything that you can talk about while throwing the word teleconference into a sentence. The point is about what he said and whether he is prepared to support it or retract it.
Okay, that's pretty clear. So Craig is basically saying.
And by the way, this is Barb. I'm really incensed that Wayne just invoked my name, claiming that I said Craig had more evidence than I did not.
Barb, you're out of order. We're trying to deal with a point of order here. I understand that you have a concern, but that's out of order.
Barbara, I was saying that Craig, there were two debates.
You're out of order too, Wayne. I'm trying to resolve this question. We have to resolve this point of order before we can move forward, okay? So that's just where we're at. Point of order takes precedence over everything else. So we have Craig stating that Wayne is, again, off topic and needs to be called back to the point in question. Does anybody wish to speak against the point of order? Hearing none, then we will vote on the point of order. All in favor of the point of order? I'm just going to say as facilitator that I concur with Craig that this is off topic. The question here is simply this, and it's pretty clear that Craig is asking for either proof that he said what he was alleged to have said on a teleconference that was stated to a large group of people by someone else on a teleconference, or to have a retraction. And there's anything else is really off topic. And I think the body has stated that in its votes here on a couple of occasions now. So we need to stay on that question. So Wayne, as I give you back the floor, the question is simply, are you willing to retract or are you willing to prove that Craig did, in fact, apologize for not having evidence on the teleconference? It's really that simple, I think. So can you speak to that only? And
okay.
So that we don't have to deal with more points of order. Okay.
Well, I'm not sure we're going to get through the no points of order part, but, you know, if the question is the word frequency is what needs to be apologized for, then that's probably no problem because I don't recall very many instances that Craig has apologized. I do recall those words, but I have not found them. You know, do know that there are 20 to 30 hours of conference calls I'd have to listen to. I didn't, and as Craig pointed out, I haven't yet listened to them, but if, and he hasn't published his Costi Goes Full to Bunker article yet, so, but I'll commit to listening to them and report back at the next teleconference. Now, if I do find what I think I'm looking for, we'll probably then have to agree whether or not it was a limited in scope, whether it was all-encompassing or what, and whether or not an apology is needed then. But I will commit to report back at the next teleconference what I find. And I'm also going to point out that an apology for the word frequently doesn't mean that I then don't go into an excoriating list of all the idiocy that Craig has has provided.
That's really out of order. I'm sorry. That comment's out of order because we're really just looking here as to whether or not we can amicably agree to some resolution of this that will satisfy both of you, okay? And in this case, Craig is asking, as I understand it, for either a retraction or an adjustment of your statement, an apology of some sort that would go out to the same people by whom he feels he was misrepresented by your comment. That's it. If you're either going to do that or not.
I will commit by the next teleconference to review the conversations I think are relevant and report back. That's the only thing I can do. I haven't done it yet. I thought it would be a waste of my time. I think it's a waste of this teleconference's time to get into this kind of baloney. But if the organizers think it's a worthwhile thing, then it's great. And I think the next thing we need to do is come up with a code of conduct for what this teleconference is, because this is all ad hoc, on-the-fly stuff. But I will commit by the next teleconference to review the materials and then decide what level of apology, if any, is needed. And
okay.
We resolve.
Before I get back to Craig on that, I think you've raised a very legitimate point here that I would like to query the teleconference about. Okay? So I think we do need to look at this question. The question is, do we want to establish that there is an understanding that people who participate in the teleconference have an obligation to honestly represent what was, or to accurately represent what was stated on the teleconference, as opposed to maybe interpolating or, you know, making other kinds of claims about it that are not accurate. And I would just like to ask us if we could just spend a few minutes maybe just discussing this question so that we have good feeling among ourselves as to what it is that we want to see going forward. I think Wayne, it is fair for Wayne to say that we don't have a formal code about this. And so I would like to get a feeling of the teleconference about how we feel about this. So who would like to speak to that question?
I'll do it first. Simply say that I think this is an agenda item that should not be done, or that should be set up on one of the future teleconferences for discussion. An ad hoc discussion without preparation is probably not the best and most meaningful way of handling this. I've already committed to reviewing the materials and reporting back at the next teleconference. And I think
that's fair enough, Wayne. But what I'm trying to figure out is whether or not we have an implicit code of conduct with respect to this or whether we don't. If we don't, then I think your point is well taken. If we do, then the question is whether we need to make it more explicit or whether the implicit nature of the understanding is sufficient to enable us to handle matters like these as they arise. So I would just like to hear from others who have an opinion on this one way or the other so we have a sense of where we stand. Okay. So anybody else would like to speak to the question before we move back to the question of resolving this for the time being between Wayne and Craig?
Sure. Well, I mean, I don't, I think as a bare minimum, people should not be able to tell lies about things that go on our calls to others outside the calls and expect that there would be no consequences for that. I don't know what consequences there should be, but, people should be able to support claims that they make. I mean, with these phones, these calls are all recorded. So it's not as if, you know, people should just be responsible for what they say. So I don't, in terms of how that works, I haven't really got any great wisdom on that immediately. But
okay. Anybody else want to speak to the question?
This is Maurice Spike, and I agree with Craig. And please tell me who's moderating. I missed the name of the moderator.
I apologize for that. I usually announce that at the beginning. My name is Ken Freeland. I'm moderating, and so is Sean Curtis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Ken Freeland. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So this is Wayne. If we're going to go down this route, I have to read a statement from the original letter that
Wait, before you speak,
Wayne, you're out of order.
I haven't called on you to speak. I'm trying to get a sense of the teleconference in this, so I'm trying to hear from people who have not spoken yet to this question of whether we have implicit understanding about representations of the teleconference outside of the teleconference, because that's the point you raised. And I think it's a fair point, but I need to hear from other people, not just you, okay? So let's ask again, does anybody else want to speak to this question?
Yeah, this is Cheryl.
Sure.
I think it's sort of common sense or just understood that you would tell the truth and not misrepresent people on the call. And it would seem like we wouldn't need, you know, some kind of a rule about that. But here we are, so maybe we do need something about that.
Mm-hmm. Is there
a motion on the floor for this new rule?
No, there's not a motion on the floor about the rule. No, there's not. There's just a question. I'm just trying to get a sense of the teleconference about whether we have an implicit understanding about representations of the teleconference outside the teleconference.
I think people could have different opinions on that. I think we should have a motion and just make it official.
Well, you're welcome to do that, Barbara. It's an open season on that, if you want to do that.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion then that all statements that are made both on the teleconference and off the teleconference about what is stated by any participant in a teleconference will be truthful and accurate.
Is there a second to Barbara's motion?
I'll second that.
Second.
Yeah.
Okay. Seconded by Craig. So it's open for debate. There's a motion on the floor that all statements regarding what happens on the teleconference by teleconference participants, both within and without, within and outside of the teleconference, will be accurate, or expected to be accurate, or that there's a responsibility for them to be accurate. So how do you want to phrase that, Barbara? Barbara, you're the motioner maker. So how do you want to phrase that? I'm a little unclear about that particular wording.
Well, I won't be able to say it exactly the way I did before, but I'll try again. I move that all statements made by members of the teleconference, either on the teleconference or off the teleconference, about statements made on the teleconference, shall be truthful and accurate.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's perfectly stated. And it's been made and seconded. Does anybody else wish to speak to the motion before we act on it?
Yes, Wayne.
Wayne, go ahead.
So just as a kind of an example, Craig in this original email said, Wayne's output amounts to an avalanche of speculation.
Wayne. When there's a point of order raised, we have to stop and take the point of order. That's how Robert rules work, okay? So we can't – you will get the floor back after the – a point of order. So go ahead, Craig. Raise your point of order.
Right. He's listing criticisms that I have made of him that have no connection to the teleconference whatsoever. Okay? These are my opinions about his output. So when he refers to me saying it's an avalanche of speculation, that's my opinion. I didn't misrepresent anything. I didn't lie about anything. And I didn't invoke the teleconference. So
okay.
He's off topic again.
I'm going to rule in favor of the point of order. Wayne, that's really not relevant to the question of whether or not we ought to have a rule about whether or not we have a responsibility within and without the teleconference to represent what's said on teleconference with reasonable accuracy. So please keep your comments pertinent to the question. Go ahead. You still have the floor.
Well, then I'm going to have to ask what the sanctions are going to be when I bring this up as an example of what Craig has said. He has said many things. So what are the sanctions going to be? And
so,
what is the point of this code of conduct?
In fact, we don't. The motion does not have sanctions addressed. So if you would wish to make an amendment to the motion to include the type of sanctions that it would entail, you may do so. But otherwise,
I have no intention of doing that.
Okay.
I don't want to vote Craig off the list.
Okay. All right. Anybody else wish to address the question here, whether or not we should have an explicit rule about accuracy representing what's stated on the teleconference? Anybody else wish to speak to that question?
This is David Rold. It's just not quite clear to me. Is it like you have to give the specific quote when you say somebody said something on the teleconference? You can't paraphrase them? Because, Craig just said, like, that it's okay to, like, interpret what somebody said and give your opinion about it. That's okay. That's not misrepresenting, right? Mm-hmm. Or I just...
I can clarify. It's my motion.
Yeah. Go ahead, Barbara.
What this whole discussion is, and the original vote, is on whether a member of the teleconference has been misquoted. Wayne, according to Craig, and I agree with him, Wayne has grotesquely misquoted Craig.
Yes.
So I think Barbara, the way Barbara stated this, I think was very useful for our purposes here. It's about accuracy, okay? So renditions of what happened on the teleconference need to be, you know, accurate. They need to reflect the sense of what was actually said or not said, and whether or not we want to adopt that as a formal principle. That's what we're dealing with here. So,
right. That doesn't preclude opinions and interpretations, but
correct.
It does include, if you're going to say there is a quote, you had better be correct.
Yeah, you've got to be able to lend it back
right.
it out.
Right.
Okay.
May I speak? I'd like to speak, Ken.
Have you spoken to this question yet?
Did I?
I don't know. I don't think you have, so go ahead.
Well, I don't think I did, although it's my point of order, I guess. But I wonder if, Barbara, whether
this
you
is,
would be...
This is Barbara's motion now we're speaking.
Yeah.
This is outside of the
area. Good. So I haven't. Okay. I wonder, you mentioned accuracy, Barbara. Would you be comfortable with adding in the word truthfulness? Say that they need to be statements need to be truthful and accurate.
I think that's what she said. Did you say?
Oh, is that right?
People have different interpretations of the evidence. But to say that someone has presented no evidence is an outright lie, and you've been outright misquoted. So
right.
You know, I think that people on this teleconference were all very informed and intelligent, and we're going to be able to know both the letter and the spirit of when someone is lying or not.
Right.
So, Barbara, can you just repeat that part of your motion that had to do with the truthfulness or accuracy or whatever, that last part? It was very clearly stated, but I keep forgetting it, I guess, because I'm getting early Alzheimer's. But if you would just restate that last part.
Well, I won't be able to just go to the last part. Let me try from the beginning again, and it's not going to be exact as the first two, but this is the gist of it. I think people can get the spirit of this, okay? All statements by members of the teleconference that are made both on the teleconference and off the teleconference about statements by other members of the teleconference on the teleconference shall be truthful and accurate.
So does that answer your question, Craig? Truthful and
yeah.
accurate.
Okay. I think.
Thank you.
That's perfect.
So that settles it. Okay. So anybody else want to make a comment or ask a question that hasn't spoken yet on this question, so that we can move to a vote?
Yeah. This is Maurice.
Neil, I just want to express my gratitude to Barbara for making that clear.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Maurice, you want to make a comment?
Yeah, this is Nita. I'd like to make a comment.
Marie, go ahead. Nita,
thank
go ahead.
No, I just wanted to bring out that this is the 9/11 truth movement. So I love the fact truth is in a Barbara statement. Thank you.
Okay.
Over.
And Marie? That was Marie. Nita, did you want to say something as well?
It was Anita. Yeah,
Anita, yeah.
I would maybe add that it should not distort, because you know sometimes when you're saying what somebody said, you're basically paraphrasing. You don't remember the quote, so should not distort what a person said.
This is Barbara. It's my motion. I don't think that's necessary because truthful and accurate is pretty clear, and that's just the other side of the same coin. People have to. Somebody's banging pans in the back of the center.
So it's not considered a friendly amendment, but if you wish to make it independently, Nita, you may.
Yeah, no, I brought it up, but it's not. I don't think it's that important.
Okay. All right, so anybody else wish to speak that hasn't spoken yet on this motion by Barbara? Okay, well, hearing no other people, then we'll go ahead and move to a vote. So the motion has been stated three times already. I don't think I need to repeat it, and it's pretty clear. And I know that Craig will copy it verbatim. So all in favor of the motion by Barbara to make this a formal structure of our teleconference, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Okay, the ayes have it, and we will
abstain.
Say that it's unanimous because there wasn't any nays. So that is now considered.
Did you see that Wayne just abstained? That needs to be recorded.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Did
right.
you abstain, Wayne? Okay, yeah. If Wayne abstained.
David Rose, I abstained too.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so there's.
I think that abstention by Wayne tells you a lot.
That's out of order, Barbara. It's out of order. So we have carried the motion with many yeas and two abstentions to declare this as a principle of the teleconference for future use, and probably I would suppose that we could be argued that it was an implicit a value before, but now it has been made explicit. That's just a personal interpretation, but I think it's a fair summary of what we've experienced. So having said that, then let's move forward and go back to the question. Wayne has offered to review the teleconference recordings in order to support his claims that he has made regarding Craig's statements on the teleconference, and to report back by next month. Craig, is that acceptable to you as a resolution of this issue for the time being?
Well, it is not something I'm happy with at all, but I understand we can't vote on anything in the meantime. But the problem I have with this offer is that I have a pretty good idea of what Wayne's going to come back with. He's going to come back with a whole string of statements that he's going to try to make a case for them being, you know, me expressing some sort of regret about some absence of evidence somewhere, and we're going to have to listen to all that. The only way I would accept this is if what he comes back with is very specific and on the exact topic. In other words, I want him to produce statements by me where I admit, and this should be more than one because he said frequently, but where I admit, I apologize for having no evidence whatsoever. This is what he has to come back with. If he starts coming back with you know, mushy statements that don't say that, then I don't think the teleconference should be listening to that for half an hour. So he's got to be specific. He's got to be on topic next month.
Okay. So I would suppose that just as it was this month, Craig, that the teleconference would have to be the judge of whether or not what Wayne comes back with answers the request. Okay.
I guess so.
Yeah. Wayne, you had said that you did feel apologetic about having used the word frequently, that you don't actually think in retrospect it was frequently. Craig feels the need for the people that you informed through your BCC to be re-informed according to your newest understanding. of what Craig may or may not have actually said on the teleconference. So that's where all of this probably ultimately has to go in order to be satisfactory, at least to Craig, for what it's worth. So where do you want to go? You want to just postpone this until next teleconference and then come back with a report, or do you think there's
that's what I've offered. That's the only thing I can do. And of course, if you want me to, Craig's going to be it's going to be a winner's remorse when he gets the apology with the CC list. Because the only thing it's going to do is remove the frequently apologized, but it's going to go through a whole list of other stuff.
Well, you know, Wayne, so help me God, if you try to pull that, if you just give a list of all the statements that I've made that you don't like, and then essentially reinforce your lie.
Apparently that's not a satisfactory
absolutely.
I guess the question is whether we can resolve this for the time being by waiting till next month to see what Wayne is able to produce by way of support for his allegation, and then to go from there. It seems to me that might be the only expedient way forward. But if anybody has a better suggestion, I'm certainly open to it.
I would like to make a comment. This is Anne.
Ann, go ahead.
Is there any possibility that those two folks could just, Craig and Wayne could do this on email and not spend time on this conference call where other people need to make some address some more critical subjects, get on with the agenda, because people are dying while we're talking and, you know, people are paying the cost and we need to be active in spreading the truth and not having such conflict among ourselves.
Well,
if they could do it on email, that would be lovely.
Yeah, it would be lovely, but if that were possible, I don't think they would have been brought to the attention of the teleconference, because this is about an email conflict, it took place over email, so it's unlikely that an email correspondence would resolve the issue, I think, unfortunately.
I don't think we can force Wayne to do anything different than he has said he's going to do, but the teleconference on the next call will reserve the right, of course, to reject the list that we do not believe is relevant to the question.
If that's the sense of the teleconference, and it may or may not be. So we don't know that until we get there. So that's fair enough. Anybody else want to make a comment about this before we move back to before we move on with the agenda?
In response to Ann, I'll simply say that we've now enshrined this type of conflict by the organizers having this control and having set this precedent for future teleconferences. We've just put that into the code of conduct. That is going to be very problematic, which is why I abstained. Over.
Okay. Anybody else want to make a comment or before we move forward to the next agenda?
I have a comment,
item?
Nita.
Nita, go ahead.
I'd like to say that I think that this discussion was extremely important, because I think that it's very important to have the people who are highly visible in this movement be truthful. So I think that we all need to hear these. I think this discussion was something that we needed to hear and needed to be recorded. So thank you, Craig, for bringing it up.
Okay. Thank you, Nita.
Any other comments before we move forward? All right. Hearing none, then we're going to take a very brief break here while we move on to the next agenda item, so that Barbara can contact Mick Harrison and bring him on. To bring us up to speed on the grand jury petition and other matters, and his take on the
Hold on. On the agenda, I believe that my presentation is prior to that. Correct?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm going too fast here. Yeah, you're right. You're the next. You're the next agenda item. Please feel free to introduce it and go from there. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Because it is very, very important. We're already almost to August. So what is it, about just a little bit over 6 weeks or so before the coming anniversary. And I just wanted everybody to know what the plans are for the main 9/11 event worldwide this year, which will again be in New York City. I am the producer and organizer of that event. I went to New York City a couple of weeks ago. Time flies, could have been a little bit more now, but it feels like about 2 weeks ago. And for about a week, a little bit under a week, looked at about 5 or 6 potential venues, met with the Lawyers Committee members there and 9/11 activists, including Nita and Dave Meiswinkle and Les Jamison and many others, and chose a number one preferred venue, which, glory hallelujah, we got. And so the event is going to be, and it will be live streamed by Alan Reese at No Lies Radio. So everybody knows if you can't be in New York City for what I'm about to tell you, you'll be able to see it live online, and it will be archived. The video will be archived for at least 10 days afterwards for, you know, at most a dollar donation. But however much you can contribute to No Lies Radio, it costs Alan about $1,000 to do this for us, and that's volunteer on his part. So a donation would be appreciated. But anyway, so the event is a Lawyers Committee event, Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, which I'm on the board. There are 9 of us on the board. And it will be held on Monday, September 10th, in New York City in the West Village at what is the old courthouse in West Village. Now, I don't know if it's the court, used to be the courthouse for all of Manhattan, like a Superior County courthouse, but it's called the old courthouse. Today, it is the Jefferson Market Public Library, or just the Jefferson Market Library in West Village. The event will start at either 6 or 6:30. I'm still working this out. We do have a commitment from the library administrator. I've got it in writing, the commitment to the venue. Audiovisual will be set up at 5:30. There may or may not be a pre-event in the garden next door. I'm trying to work that out. That would start at 4 o'clock. Don't know about that yet. Everybody will get emails with the details as soon as they're nailed down, hopefully in the next 10 days, at the minimum or maximum at the outside. So the event, the main purpose of the event is for the Lawyers Committee, and there will be 5 or 6 board members there. From Mick Harrison, the executive director, director of litigation, Jane Clark, the president, Julio Gomez, Dave Meiswinkle, myself, perhaps others. There will be at least 5 of us. So the main purpose of the event is to announce that the worldwide, that the Lawyers Committee the next morning, late morning, September 11th itself, the anniversary, we will be filing with the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York in that courthouse in near Ground Zero. We will be filing what's called a mandamus action, mandamus filing, which basically means do your duty. Because so far we have heard nothing from the U.S. Attorney. We don't expect to by then. And there is a federal statute that makes it very clear that the U.S. Attorney has no choice but to convene the special criminal grand jury we're demanding. So, but you have to sometimes force the official hand. So that's what a mandamus action is. There will be press releases, probably a press event at the courthouse. Somebody's making a lot of noise. There will be probably a press event still to be organized the morning of the 11th, either at the courthouse steps or, again, on the steps of the New York City Hall. We don't know yet. And there will be press releases for the actual mandamus filing, but it will be announced worldwide on a live stream of our event the evening before on September 10th. So it's East Coast time. It'll start for sure no later than 6:30 p.m. Eastern on Monday, September 10th. Richard Gage will be speaking. Also, he will be presenting a summary of the evidence in the grand jury petition on World Trade Centers 1, 2, and 7, along with Mick Harrison and any members of the Lawyers Committee Board. Mick and Richard will work out between them who says what for how long on the summary of the evidence. So that will be the main core, the main pole of the tent of that main event. There will also be announcements of what's happening the next day, and that I can go into that if you'd like. I think people should know that Richard will then be, and maybe some of the others of us as well, and everyone's invited to physically come to both events. The next day, that night, Richard and perhaps some of the others of us on the lawyers committee will be going down to Washington, or up, I can't remember, to Washington, D.C., and I believe starting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon to at most for at most 2 hours, architects and engineers with Richard will be holding an event on the Capitol Hill Mall that we understand will also be live streamed. So that would be starting as of now. It's understood it will be starting at 2 p.m. Eastern on September 11th on Tuesday, and that will be live streamed also by No Lies Radio, by Ellen Reese, and that will be on the Capitol Hill Mall, and that will include Cynthia McKinney and Richard Gage, and he's also asking Jesse Ventura, but has not heard back from Jesse Ventura. So that event is still being organized in terms of who will speak, but for sure Richard Gage and Cynthia McKinney. So that's exciting. As going back to New York City for September 11th, there is a proposal, we don't know if it's going to happen, by a guy named Gene Laratonda, if any of you know him. He is trying to organize some kind of a sit-in or demonstration event on the sidewalk outside, or the little mall outside World Trade Center 7, Larry Silverstein's building, for sometime on September 11th. The Lawyers Committee voted unanimously not to have any part of that, not to sponsor it, not to be at it, et cetera, because we're trying to be very official with the court. But people should know about that, and if you want to know more, you'd have to get in touch with Gene Laratonda. So also on September 11th in New York City, the next day after our event, Dusty Burke, who is with the Westview News, which is one of the two local newspapers there, in New York City, in the lower Manhattan. She's in West Village, and it's called the Westview News because it's the local newspaper, it's a monthly newspaper for the West Village. Dusty Burke spoke. She was the fourth person to speak at the petition filing press event in New York City on April 10th. She did a great job. She's a firecracker 9/11 activist in New York City, and she's putting on a completely separate event. I don't know the time yet, but on September 11th on Tuesday, there is something called the 9/11 Tiles for America exhibit, which is an official exhibit outdoors by a park in New York City in the West Village. And she's going to have a baby grand piano there and fix up the garden and have lemonade and cookies. And people are invited to come to that to see these incredible 9/11 Tiles for America. And what that is a kind of a memorial that's been made permanent of the informal memorial that started on the cyclone fence where on 9/11 and after people put up their photos of their loved ones who they hadn't heard from the World Trade Center towers. They're missing, the missing posters, if you will. And so people from all over the country have kind of made that missing poster wall permanent by creating beautiful tiles with solidarity messages for those who lost their lives and the family members of the victims. So that event will be happening. And I think that's everything people need to know about, except that Dan Hannon was going to be on this call and talk about what I'll tell you in GIST, and that is for the June issue, the June 1st issue of the Westview News, they did allow the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry to have a op-ed, which if you don't already have it, I will send it to Craig and Ken and Cheryl.
Barbara, was that the June 1st or the July 1st issue?
No, it was the June 1st issue. The July 1st issue, which came out when I was in New York recently, was the issue after that one. There was nothing on from the Lawyers Committee in that issue. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll send you the link to the online version of the op-ed. The Westview News has both a physical hard copy that comes out around the first of each month, and they also eventually put it online. I understand they have not put the July issue yet online. Someone was complaining about that, and I have to get back to Dusty Burke and remind her to have their tech, you know, crew do that, their production crew do that. So anyway, you'll be able to read the op-ed. That was in Westview News for the June 1st issue. It'll speak for itself. That's the upside. The downside was it was a battle royale, unfriggin' believable, inside the Westview News, which is owned, the main publisher is George Kapsis. I met with George Kapsis and Dusty when I was in New York about 2 weeks ago for 9 straight hours, educating him on 9/11 and bringing him around because he had closed his mind, closed his eyes to the evidence. And the lawyers committee had already given a formal presentation by one of our board members, Julio Gomez, and he still had a closed mind. So I opened his mind. And he is now in those 9 hours, and he is now he is pledged anyway, for the September 1st issue to make it the 9/11 truth issue and allow us to have our advertisement for our event, to have even a centerfold or an insert that's a big flyer. And he's really come around. So it's very exciting because he has one of the two newspapers in Lower Manhattan. Very exciting. So I guess that's if people have questions.
Before we get to the questions, so just to clarify, pursuant to Craig's point at the beginning of the teleconference, you will be sending a link to Craig regarding this article, right?
Yeah, so you want me to send the link to the online op-ed of June 1st. Okay. Mm-hmm. Was there something else I was going to send you? I forget.
I'm not sure. I don't remember anything else. But, if there's anything
okay,
regarding
well,
the event
send,
in New York.
I'll send the gist of the events in New York and Washington, D.C. that we know of.
So sure.
Yeah. Okay.
You need my email again, Barbara, or do you have it?
Oh, I have it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Great.
So if anybody has any questions, I'm sure I've left something out, but that's the gist, and you'll be getting all the details as soon as we can nail down the times and the speakers and all of that.
Barbara, is it okay to talk about what the lawyers committee is going to be doing on September 10th and 11th? Is that okay to share now? Or?
Well, I just shared it.
I mean with the public, like on my radio program if I want. Can I share that?
Well, it would probably be a good idea to wait until I've nailed it down a little bit more, and then Richard, maybe another week or 10 days, if you could, because it would be terrible if we gave the wrong time and people showed up wrong. That would really be difficult for us there at the venue. Just wait a little bit more. I'll let you know.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for
all
your hard work.
Yeah, you're welcome. By the way, people need to know this. I just want people to know this. When I went to New York City and I sat down with 9 members of the New York City 9/11 Truth community, the leaders, I said, what is being planned for this anniversary? And nothing was being planned. So I took the bull by the horns as I did last year. I produced last year's main worldwide event, and I'm producing this year's main worldwide event. But I can't do it alone again. So just a word to our community, we need to step forward and not assume somebody's going to do this. We need to keep the momentum up, especially now that we have the petition.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have a question.
And does anybody else wish to make a comment or ask a question before we move on to the next? Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. This is Ann.
Yeah, hi, Ann.
Yeah, Barbara, that's phenomenal about the guy, the editor and the, or the, what is, the, is that, is that what he is, the editor, the owner of that paper doing the September issue? That's fantastic.
Yes.
But my question is, did he get any letters to the editor or any feedback on the June 1st article? Did he
Yes, they open it, yes. And when I send you the link, I believe that you'll see there's a place for comments. And we want everybody in the movement to send in those comments. Now, I do want you to know that I have been told, but it's not online, so I can't prove it, but I was told by Dusty Burke, who works with George at the paper, that for the July 1st issue, that the even the hard copy published the two of the dozens of comments that were sent in. So they're censoring these. But my understanding is that they're two positive ones, and maybe that's why they haven't, if true, haven't put the July 1st issue online yet. I still have to confirm that. I heard that at the beginning of this call from somebody, that claim. So the bottom line is we all need to be sending in whether they publish them or not. This needs to go into the head of George Capsis. He will see all of your comments. Please, when you get the link, go there. If there's a place to comment, comment, and I'm going to give you George Capsis's email also to send your comment directly.
Thank you.
All right. Very, very important.
Okay. Any other comments or questions?
Thank you.
All right. Yep. Thank you, Barbara. And so hearing none, we're going to get take a short break here. And Barbara is going to try to get a hold of Nick so that he can come on the call for the next agenda item. And in the meantime,
okay, bye, everybody. I'll be back. Okay, bye.
Yep.
Bye.
I'm going to give the floor
Stay
to
busy.
Ron Avery, who's just joined the call. And Ron has an announcement about the a Texas event that will be taking place around the anniversary of 9/11. So, Ron, if you're here,
yes,
you
want to
go ahead and talk about that?
Thank you, Ken. I've kind of like started a new company to actually put these kinds of events on, to host events like this. And what we're going to do is have Christopher Bolin, and we'll have two people from, we call this event The Ship That Won't Sink, and it's the first in a series of projects we want to do called Great Topics Fest. And we have Phil Turney and Dave Gaheri. Phil Turney is a survivor of the USS Liberty attack, and Dave Gaheri is a U.S. Naval submarine veteran, and they wrote a book together called Erasing the Liberty, and they're trying to do a full-length movie about that attack, and so they're fundraising, and that's really the purpose of my company I'm trying to build, is a fundraising company which does pay-per-view live streams. So this will be the first one I do as a pay-per-view live stream. It's cheap. It's $10 to watch a full day of live streaming from this event. And we'll also, Christopher Bolin, of course, will speak. And he's great. And then we're even going to Skype in Richard Gage for about 15 minutes. And then we have a guy named Mickey Folletta of Mortgage Defense Systems. And he's been helping people defend in court fraudulent foreclosures on their homes. And he's shown that during these foreclosures, most of the time, if not all the time, the banks and the lawyers involved in it are producing fraudulent foreclosure documents. So this is going to be pretty interesting stuff in itself. And then Mark Anderson from the American Free Press is going to talk on Global Cities Agenda and how the New World Order is getting around national and state constitutions by trying to get cities to institute this global agenda they have. And then we'll have...
Hi, it's Barb. I'm back.
Hi. We'll have John Stapmiller from Republic Broadcasting Network. You know, he's in the neighborhood, and he's always a great speaker. And so we're going to have those speakers, and it'll be at the Hotel Contessa on the Riverwalk in San Antonio. And you can go to Mix and Stream. That's M-I-X and the letter N, stream.com. And all the information is on there. You'll want to click on the ship that won't sink, and it'll show you the whole plan for the day and what the hotel looks like and all of that. And right there you can buy your tickets to either attend. They're $27.59 per seat. We have 100 seats. And then we have a place there where you can purchase your $10 ticket to view all the streams for that day. And so it's kind of all there, and we're ready to do it. And so I hope we get a lot of participation from the 9/11 Truth group. A lot of people have decided to make this the Texas event rather than just a San Antonio event. So I think we'll get a lot of participation from all around Texas, and we're hoping for that. And yes, go ahead.
Well, I'm planning on attending myself, but for those who are out of Texas, what is the date of this? So if they want to do the live stream and connect with the live stream, they know what date we're talking about here.
Yes, it would be Saturday, September the 8th.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the website?
Yep.
What was the what?
The website for streaming?
It's called mixinstream.com. That's M-I-X, the letter N, stream.com.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'd like to encourage you to send that information to our secretary, Craig, so he can put it in the minutes and alert all the people that are on this call about it.
I wish I had his email address. I don't know that I have all that kind of...
You want to give it, Craig?
Sure. Oh. Yeah, it's my email. It's Craig, C-R-A-I-G.
Okay.
And then McKee, M-C-K-E-E.
Okay.
911.
Okay.
@gmail.com.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Rod, for that announcement. So it shows that even down here in Texas, we're not letting this thing go. And anybody else want to make a comment or ask a question before we move on to our third agenda item? Okay. Well, thanks again, Ron. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it.
Thank
you. You bet.
You're most welcome. Okay. So now we are ready for – is Nick on the call now?
All right. Can you hear me? It's Barb.
Yeah, I can hear you, Barb, but I don't see Nick here yet.
No, I know. That is because when I called him, he said – I didn't realize it because I was on the call. He sent an email a little bit before 9 p.m. Somebody's making noise.
Sorry, that was me. Sorry.
Nick sent me an email a little before 9 p.m. Eastern. I didn't realize that I was on the call. He said if he couldn't come on before 9, he wouldn't be able to come on today. So he's not able to come on. And he's requested to come on next time at the top as the first segment. Would that be
okay.
All right?
Yep, that's fine. So we'll listen first for next teleconference if nobody has any objections.
I have a few announcements people need to know, but I could wait for the announcements.
We'll probably be moving right forward to the announcements if there's, So we're all agreed that that will be the case. Before we get to announcements, let's talk about the next teleconference. We've got then Nick at the next teleconference at the top, and then Cheryl, I think I sent you someone else who.
We have Tony Hall. he was supposed to be this month, but he wanted more. He said things will be shaping up and he'll have more to say in August. And and then we have Wayne's response to Craig's request. So
Mick.
Yes,
Mick is at the top, right? But there was another one, Cheryl, that I sent you.
That was Sander Arena, and he wants to talk about the Las Vegas shootings, but he asked for September, not August. So
All right. Well, it sounds like we've got a fairly good start for next month. If anybody has, we can probably fit one more item if anybody has anything else. But if you don't have it now to talk about, just send it forward to Cheryl, and I do.
I have something that I think will be very timely and relevant, Barb, for the next call.
Mm-hmm.
If I can mention that.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'll go into this a little bit more in the announcements, but just the gist of it. There's a lot of noise happening again. I'm not sure if people are aware of it, but there is a project by Robert David Steele to send 1 to 2 page memos on 9/11 facts and theories to President Trump. And I will send to Craig to put on the minutes from this meeting the link, and you can read all of those memos. He claims to have Trump's White House Oval Office fax machine, and claims to have people who talk to him on the phone and meet with him regularly to hand deliver them. And they speak for themselves. Unfortunately, they're all over the map. There are contradictory claims of evidence and theories in all of these memos. But this project is going forward. And what he's calling on Trump to do, and he's having Roger Stone and Michael Flynn, of all people, ask President Trump to, in the few days leading up to 9/11, to hold a televised 9/11 truth summit on the air with Trump himself, if you can imagine. And they're calling upon Trump on his to have a speech to the nation on September 11th about 9/11 truth. We shall see if this happens, but we will know if the memos have been sent to Trump by the next call. And if so, I will know, because one of those memos is mine, also Richard Gage, David Ray Griffin, Peter Dale Scott, Christopher Boland. You'll see them all.
So if this does happen, Barbara, you're saying you would like an agenda item for the next teleconference regarding this?
There are two steps. Number one, Robert David Steele claims that he's going to give the first batch of about 20 memos to Trump this weekend or early next week. So by next call, we will know if that has happened and what the fallout is. And then on the September call, believe me, we will know if there's been the presidential summit on 9/11 truth.
Well, yeah, okay, but we're just trying to firm up things for next month. So are you tentatively reserving a time to talk about this? Is that what you'd like to do?
Yeah, I think people would want me to. If people would like an update on this incredible proposal that I believe has a chance of happening, given Trump's ego, I think that if there is an update, I would give an update next time.
Okay.
So then that would make that August pretty full. And then so anyone who wants anything would probably have to go over into September.
Okay. That's clear. All right. So now I guess we're ready for announcements.
I would give an update on the events that would then be a few days, a week and a half or so later in New York City and Washington, D.C.
But we're already having Mick on to do that, right?
I'm sorry, what?
Mick is already scheduled to do that, right?
No. Well, Mick could. However, he's not the organizer of the event. I am.
Mm-hmm. It won't take long.
I would suggest that we make that a combined presentation.
Oh, that's fine. Because Mick wants to talk about the deep state, remember?
Okay. Right. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Barb. So now we're ready for announcements. Who has an announcement that he or she would like to make?
Wayne here.
Wayne, go ahead.
Yeah, so the 9/11 Truth Action Project is organizing. It's not ready for prime time yet, but organizing courthouse vigils to promote the the 9/11 truth issues related to and using kind of a centerpiece some of the evidence from the lawyers committee's petition. That's my understanding. We're working on getting out, figuring out what the kind of the details are, and they'll be posted on the 911tap.org website when they're ready. There's a placeholder, I believe, on the calendar right now, but that's all I have right now. There's a lot of discussion going back and forth on what it's going to look like and how it's going to get organized. If you want to participate, you can go there and go to the click on the Contact Us form, and it'll go to the, whoever it is that's doing the organizing. Okay, that's all over.
Okay, yeah. You want to send the link. You want to send the link for that to Craig so that we put it into the minutes so people can reference it.
Yes, I can do that. Over.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, Bob. I have a announcement and an update on what Wayne just said.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Actually, thank you, Wayne. I forgot to mention the courthouse vigil. The plan is for the nationwide and worldwide TAP organizations. I was just on the phone with the Europe TAP call, the Europe and London UK TAP call yesterday or the day before, time flies. And so the bottom line is that because our New York City main event is going to be live streamed, we are working with Bill Jacoby, who's both on the board of the Lawyers Committee and the main coordinator of TAP, we're working with Bill Jacoby to get the live streams of our Lawyers Committee events the evening of September 10th in New York City live streamed into these courthouse vigils around the country that evening on the 10th. So that would be very exciting. All anybody would need is all they'd really need is an iPhone to hold up, but ideally a bigger screen than that as the centerpiece of these courthouse vigils. I will say that the Lawyers Committee voted unanimously not to officially sponsor these vigils or participate in them in any way. But we're glad to have our live stream of our event in New York City on the evening of September 10th, Monday, be live streamed anywhere, including the courthouse vigil. So I just wanted people to know about that. I've already given you the announcement about the Trump memos. I will send the link to that to put in the minutes of this meeting. And finally, just before this call, I personally went to the trouble of posting to the 9/11 teleconference list the answers to all of Wayne's questions to Craig that he put to Craig that were part of the first segment. So I've given the answers. Okay, that's it for me.
Okay. Any other
announcements? Excuse me, Barbara, could you repeat what you just said about the Craig and things that you've just put together? Over.
Well, you'll see it. I sent to the – let me see if I got mine. Actually, if maybe, Craig, you could let me know if it came through. I sent to the 9/11 telecon list, you know, through the email thread. Answers to the laundry list of questions that Wayne put to Craig, and I've answered them myself about the evidence.
And if I disagree, do I get to raise it as an agenda item for the next conference call?
No. She's saying that she sent this as a message, so you can respond on the list.
We can go back and forth if you want on the email thread.
I'm just trying to figure out what the scope of the thing that we voted on earlier is going to be. Over.
Well, the scope of what we voted on earlier is that we all have a responsibility to truthfully and faithfully represent what's stated on the teleconference when we make claims about it. That's all. So
thank you.
wouldn't be really relevant to this point, I don't think. Anyway, any other announcements? Hearing none, then sounds like we've come to the end of another of our wonderful teleconferences, and thank you all for your participation,
Ken?
And cooperation. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Ken, Cheryl? I'm sorry. I was kind of looking at your agenda here. So number 8, mm-hmm. I guess I have a point on that. At the bottom it said the 9/11 truth political candidates, and I only
know that's if we have time. But if you want to make a quick comment, you can. We're really over time, but go ahead.
My quick comment is if anybody knows them, please email them right away and tell, I don't know if you can mention names or not. Is that correct or not?
Sure.
Okay. Well, then, Kenneth, if you would like to email Sander and just do ask him whatever you can do for his campaign because he's in a crunch with trying to get 7,000 signatures by the end of this month. That's it. So email him with your encouragement. Thanks.
Yeah. He's been on our teleconference, I think, already about his candidacy, and certainly we all want to support his campaign. So, yeah. So if you want to send Nita that URL to Craig so they can be included in the minutes so people reading it can respond, okay?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So any other announcements?
Question.
Okay, well, hearing none. Go ahead.
Who are you referring to when you said Sanders?
Sander Hicks.
Oh, Sander Hicks. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
So thank you again, all of you, for your participation and your cooperation tonight, and we look forward to the last Wednesday of August for our next teleconference, and see you all then, and have a truthful month. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, so down to the three of us.
That was
fun. Wait, let me turn off the recording.